New CPD standards are coming into effect in 2024, and there are some huge changes for doctors in Australia. Many doctors know something's happened, but what does it mean for you? How do you ensure you're compliant under the new rules? What's your plan? Your next steps? On the show today, Peter Birch spoke with Amit Vora from CPD Home at the Creative Careers in Medicine Conference in Sydney. And in this episode, we talk about the significant changes about the CPD standards and what it means for doctors all around Australia, the technologies and tools available to help doctors to make sure they meet the new requirements, and how doctors can get on top of the challenges and uncertainties of the new CPD rules. Collaboration starts with a conversation, Team Health Tech. Let's make it happen.
Welcome to Talking Health Tech, featuring content and community about technology and healthcare. We acknowledge the traditional owners of lands these conversations were recorded and pay respect to elders past and present.
Between now and the end of June, we're conducting the 2024 Talking Health Tech Audience Survey. This helps us prioritize content, hone in key messages, and refine the show to make it even better. We also want to understand who the biggest cohorts of our audience are. So I'd love for you to take 5 or 10 minutes to have your say and complete the survey. Everyone who completes it goes in the draw to win a share of $1,000 worth of THT Plus membership credits to put towards a membership for yourself as an individual or to help get the word out about your company. The link to complete the survey is in the show notes of this episode, or just go to talkinghealthtech.com/survey.
I mean, it's great to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter. Lovely to see you again. Been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. And it's great to be able to catch up at the CCM conference, but particularly at the CPD Home boost here to be able to dive into an important topic that impacts a lot of clinicians here, but clinicians everywhere as well. But firstly, for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Oh, sure. I mean, I've known you for 10 years, looks like.
Yeah, it's a sweet 10 years.
Yeah, so I've been in the healthcare industry for almost 20 years. I ran the Registrars Association back in the day, was head of strategy at Sonic, fell in love with startups. This is my fourth startup. I keep promising myself I'm not going to do one more, but it keeps happening. But I love it. And what I'm really passionate about is change and disruption. And health is ripe. And if there's any industry that's ever been ripe, it's been health. And there's just so much, every part of it, whether it's admin, whether it's clinical care, whether it is patient side, there's so much change happening.
Yeah.
And it's all about improved patient outcomes, more efficiency, more productivity, and a simpler, leaner, more efficient system.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've seen it firsthand in the different roles that you've done, that you've just explained a little bit here. But now with CPD Home, tell me a little bit more about what that's about.
CPD Home was not something I thought I'd ever get into. I didn't even know this thing existed till about 2 years ago. But what happened was, and this is me finding out in retrospect, is that in 2016, when the previous CPD standards came out from the medical board, they flagged that they were concerned about quality and safety. There'd been a few incidents around the country about doctors ending up in strife before not taking care of patients and all of that. And the medical board started looking at systems all over the world to see what is. So it came from the NSQHS, the National Safety and Quality Standards group. Australia started looking, what are other countries doing? So they looked at the UK's example, which went to the other end, where every doctor has to do revalidation, which is basically do the entire credentialing again every 5 years. And they realized that's a step too far. But they looked at CPD, and then they realized Australia had a self-management honesty system. It wasn't really enforced. Well, actually, that's not true, because there's 140,000 doctors in the country. Circa 70,000 belong to one of the 16 medical colleges. So the medical colleges had started their own CPD programs. And if you're a member of a college and you were a fellow of a college and you were a specialist, then you were typically following some structured CPD through your college. Now, they were all different.
Mm.
Some was 1 year, some was 2 years, some was there, some was points. It was all over the place, but there was something. The rest of the country had nothing. They had a tick box when they renewed medical registration each year to say, I did my CPD.
Mm.
What did you do? Where did you do it? Was it worth it? Was it linked to your work? None of that. And that's where the medical board came in. From a quality and safety perspective, we want to level the playing field. And they announced the changes. So it was 6 years in the making. It was a lot of consultation with various stakeholders. Clearly, I was before my time, I wasn't part of any of that. And I discovered in 22 this was coming. Right. And it was basically the medical board saying, in the future, we want every doctor in Australia to have a consistent experience around CPD. To put it simply, they said, well, we don't understand how the colleges do it. It's too all over the place. And you know this other bunch do nothing. So they said, in future, every doctor, 50 hours every year. That was the baseline, they said. The 50 hours requirement always existed since 2016, but it was self-managed, self-reported, no checks and balances. So whether you did it or not, nobody ever knew. Technically, APRA or medical board could have audited you to say, show me what you did, but it never happened. So when they created the standard, they also realized, oops, we don't have the means to enforce this standard.
Right. That's an important step.
And nor did they, as an agency, want to take that compliance back. So they created this concept of CPD homes, which basically said, we're going to privatize these tracking and reporting and compliance to the standards. We'll set the standard, and every doctor needs to comply to the standard.
Yeah.
But we'll privatize this process of how do we make sure doctors are doing it. I think it was also cost shifting back to the doctors, because had they done it, they would have had to pay for it, which is a different story.
Smart story.
That's how this concept was born. So I was, interestingly, doing some work with the AMA at the time, and I saw the opportunity, and I knew the AMA was looking for a service that was core to members and more sticky, because in some ways, AMA membership is optional. It's not a must-have. It's a nice to have, or if you really believe in the advocacy they do and all of those things. And yes, they do offer a lot of services around IR and legal and all of that. Mm. But the CPD home, because it was coming from the medical board and it was going to be mandatory, I said to the executive that if we create this, then for the first time we'll have a service that is a must have.
Yes.
That doctors need to have in order to be able to practice in this country. That was the genesis of us going down this path. So 2 years later, we were the first CPD home to be accredited by the medical board in the country. There were 40 plus expressions of interest. There were 10 or 12 applicants. We were the only one who got the tick because it was a substantial undertaking. You couldn't just be an education provider and say, I want to be a CPD home. The medical board was looking for significant depth in the platform, in the technology, in the audit process. And I think a lot of people thought it was about delivering education, whereas in fact it was about capturing and what doctors were doing.
Yeah.
So in a CPD home, essentially you could be in a position where you deliver no education, but you provide the compliance tracking and reporting for the doctor to the medical board, so that medical board knows this person has done their 50 hours, not just any 50 hours. It has to be relevant to scope of practice. If you're a surgeon doing, I don't know, something like mental health, unless you can demonstrate that mental health is related to what you're doing in your scope of practice, it's not valid CPD.
Well, I was going to say, like, if I'm thinking about that, firstly, that whole backstory and context is really helpful, and people were dropping glasses just hearing how shocking it was. But this point around, having the structure to be able to report on, and I mean, a lot of, being able to report on something...
Yeah.
You could just have a spreadsheet, right? But it sounds like there's a lot more to it behind the scenes.
Well, under the new rules, it was more than just 50 hours. And that's the part a lot of doctors still don't get. In the new framework, 50 hours is the baseline, but they've got a whole lot of other rules. First rule, you must write a CPD plan at the start of the year. Just say what you want to do this year. At the end of the year, you should reflect on that plan. So that's a mandatory requirement. You said you were going to do this. Did you actually do it? Did you learn something from it? Did you actually incorporate what you learned into practice? A reflection piece. The second thing they did was, you can't just come to a conference like this and get 50 hours. Because in the past, that was okay. You could go to 2 or 3 conferences and get your 50 hours, and that was all you needed to do. In the new world, they've created 2 domains. There's an educational domain, which can go to a conference. Mm-hmm. You can read an article. You can go to a podcast. You can do a webinar, and that's all educational. But they introduced a second domain, which they called reviewing performance and measuring outputs. Now, reviewing performance is actually related to clinical practice. How are you reviewing your day-to-day practice? How are you measuring outcomes? So out of those 50 hours, a minimum of 25 hours needs to be in these two other domains, brand new for the doctors.
Yeah.
The other element they introduced is something we call CAPE. So every year, you need to do things around cultural safety, patient inclusiveness, professionalism, and ethics. That's part of your 50 hours. It's not an on top.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff that you've consumed must tick off these four. So they created these mandatory criteria. On top of that, the colleges the colleges also set some mandatory criteria. So, right. For example, the College of GPs has always said, to be a GP, you must do CPR once every 3 years. So that's a mandatory requirement for that specialty. All of that got sucked up by the medical board and say, in the future, every doctor has to do all of these things, plus their scope of practice specialty requirements. The other big thing they did was they wanted choice and flexibility. They said, in the future, you can join any CPD. You can be a GP, but you don't have to follow the CPD from your college. Without impacting your registration, without impacting your specialty status, without impacting your access to provider numbers. So for the first time, they said, no, we don't want a monopoly. We want a level playing field. This is about meeting a standard around safety and quality. As long as, and they created this concept of new CPD homes, as long as you're with one of these CPD homes, and the CPD homes are accredited by the AMC, which is the same body that accredits the colleges, as long as you're in an accredited CPD home and you do comply with the new program, so the CPD homes were only accredited if they matched the new requirements. But because of all the drama with the requirements, we understood immediately that doctors are going to go, oh my God, I can't understand.
Yeah.
So our practice...
Well, I mean, it doesn't strike me as the first thing we need to do in healthcare is load GPs with more things to do right now.
Correct.
You know, like so...
So what this... So our focus became, we want to be the best, the simplest, and the easiest platform for the doctors to meet the requirements from the medical board.
Mm.
We created an app, we launched our platform, we got over 4,000 users already and growing every day. But the essence of our offering was, we're here to make it easy for you. If you're sitting like this, having a chat with your colleague about a patient, that's a patient review, that's reviewing performance. Click a button, record the meeting, you've got 2 hours of CPD right there. So we started building in what doctors were doing as part of their day-to-day practice. Junior doctor doing grand rounds with their supervisor in the hospital every day in the morning. Recorded, it's reviewing performance.
I'd imagine then that, you know, that's a great point, because I could only imagine the feeling from a GP or any doctor's perspective where if they're getting near the end of the time, they need to record their time, and it's like, well, where am I going to find 50 hours to jam these things in, when in fact they've probably done a lot of things that it'd be very difficult to go back retrospectively and go, oh, I remember I spoke to so-and-so for 2 hours.
Well, I mean, you can still retrospectively record as long as you've got your meeting notes. I mean, you don't have to record on the good day.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people are a bit worried about the new standards, so it's a lot of extra hoops. But I actually think the new standards are easier.
Mm.
Because for the first time, you can count a lot of what you do in your day-to-day practice up to 25 hours. Actually, you can go up to 37 hours in the reviewing performance measuring outcomes, because it's considered higher quality learning as opposed to, you know, reading an article versus engaging with your peers or doing a clinical audit. There's so many things, practice meetings or grand rounds or MDT meetings where there's more, you know, when you're discussing an adverse event, there's so many meetings that happen in the public system, in the private system, in general practice, in private practice, that are part of the clinical day. They've never recorded it.
Yeah.
Now they can. And with our system, it is so easy as click, click, click. We've created templates for them, fill in the blanks. Writing a plan is a three-question template. Reflecting on the plan is a three-question template. Gives them 5 hours and all of that. We've made it easy. And I think for the first time, what we've tried to do is say CPD is about continuous lifelong learning and improving. It should not be something that you do in December because you forgot to do it all year and you couldn't be bothered and you're talking about. It is genuinely embracing that adult learning principles. And our platform is agnostic. So we said, we accept all education in the market. So a lot of the traditional players have said, oh, you must do CPD with me. If you've not done it with me, it's not valid. or if you've not gone to somebody that I've accredited, it's not valid. And so actually, a CPR course is a CPR course. Either it meets the standard or it doesn't.
Yes.
So we're not, so we've taken the approach that we welcome everyone. So if you're any doctor that has done any educational content produced by any of the colleges, we automatically accept it because we accept this quality of what the colleges do.
Yeah, yeah.
Equally, if you're somebody who's doing it in a private setting with an education provider, but their content has been reviewed by the colleges, well, why am I going to second guess something that's already been quality checked? If you're going overseas for a conference, send us the paperwork, we'll count it. So our approach is learn anywhere, record here.
Got it.
The Talking Health Tech podcast has evolved a lot over the years, all based on audience feedback. Now I need your help. Yes, you, to shape the future of this show. Between now and the end of June, we're running our biggest campaign to date in order to understand what makes the global healthcare ecosystem tick. Last time we ran our Talking Health Tech audience survey, we learnt 40% of our audience are clinicians, 77% of our audience tune in for professional development and market awareness, 8% of people listen to Talking Health Tech for competitor profiling, and only 2% of people listen to the podcast to fall asleep. And this time around, I can't wait to find out about your preferences for audio versus video content, which topics we should dive into more, preferences for hosts and formats and geographical reach and so much more. And don't worry, we'll be sharing all the insights once all the responses are collected as well. So if you're a supporter of Talking Health Tech and you can spare 5 or 10 minutes, please complete our 2024 audience survey. And to say thanks for your input, everyone who completes the survey goes into the draw to win a share of $1,000 worth of credits towards THT Plus membership. Go to talkinghealthtech.com/survey or the links in the show notes of this episode as well.
And I imagine too, having that structure to be able to then guide you through the process rather than trying to interpret a new process in particular, something that you're not familiar with while everything else is going on, to be able to have that confidence, well, if I go through the prompts and then guide it through the platform would be.
It's like, you know, on the app you get notifications. Oh, it's March. Have you written your plan yet? There you go.
Yeah.
We send them prompts to say, oh, did you know you can do X? Or follow this doctor. This is how they're doing their CPD. So we're trying to create that community of, it's not hard. It's actually simple. But more importantly, do what's actually relevant to you.
Yeah.
Don't do it for the sake of a tick box.
Yeah. I think as well, taking some people through that journey, because I imagine it would be perhaps overwhelming or just another thing, and the fact that there's changes, and then you say, well, it's...
Like half the people that I'm talking to don't even realize. Right. They know something has happened.
Yes.
Everybody knows something has happened.
Yeah.
They know there's a new standard. They don't know what's in the standard.
Yeah.
They don't know that as of today, they're already in breach of the standard if they haven't signed.
I was going to say, it's like now, right?
As of 1st of January, every doctor was meant to have picked a CPD on. They haven't. Obviously, the medical board and APRA has been a little slow in communicating. They've had it in their general newsletters and website, but guess what? Doctors don't get to their website, do they? Yeah. Not on a daily basis.
Not on a daily.
We are encouraging them to actually do a direct comp that is very specific to doctors, because the last thing we want to see is doctors get to September when they have to renew their medical registration and say, oops, I'm not compliant because I didn't do anything for the last 7 months. And in the new world, you can't just sign up in the last 2 months and take 50 hours. You need to have done a process.
So get in now, yeah.
So they have to get in now. The other questions we're getting, which was bizarre, and it is a system change, right? Specialists have always believed they must be part of their college, otherwise they don't exist. And for the first time, there's choice.
Yeah.
You can choose to stay with your college because the college offers a whole raft of different things. You're there for a different reason. It's membership, it's collegiality, it's a whole network that you plug into. But if all you want to do is CPD, we deliver it for a quarter of the price because we don't provide the other things.
Yeah.
We're just here as your CPD and compliance partner. Make it easy, get that done. And interestingly, 30% of the cohort who are using our platform are actually specialists. Some of them are specialists who are members of their college and still using us because they say, I love my college because it gives me different things. but your platform is actually simpler and easier and more convenient.
I guess when you're focused on something in particular, then you've got the ability to really dial in on the bits that make it easier and simpler. So
The other biggest question, because, and I'm just saying it because I see all the FAQs that come through our chatbot. We built a chatbot. We built the first AI chatbot and launched it in the industry. We called it ChatCPT. So original.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
But so looking at what the chatbot's big saying, doctors are worried about their post-nominals.
About that?
Post-nominals. So
Of course. Yeah.
Some of the colleges have been saying that if you leave our college, you can no longer use the letters. You can still be a specialist. Well, actually, doctors have then taken that to believe, I can't use my letters, hence I'm not a specialist, hence I've wasted my whole life.
Yeah.
No, so the clear direction from the medical board is, if you are part of any CPD home, doesn't matter which one it is, your specialty status doesn't change, your access to the register doesn't change, and you will retain that as long as you keep doing your CPD. The post-nominals is something that is deferred by the college. It is their thing, and it signifies being a fellow.
Yes.
So we've had legal advice on this, and the advice is very clear. It is probably not okay to say, I'm still a member of the college when you're not. You can't just say, you know, if whatever, because it implies that you're still a member and you're not. So that would be seen as, not that anybody cares, but apart from yourself and your peers,
exactly.
I mean, the patients don't really understand any of those post-nominals. So the advice is, if you are using the post-nominals, just say when you got them and when you left it. So, for example, FRICGP 1991 to 2023. So that shows you held fellowship during that period. It is a statement of fact. You don't hold it anymore because we're using a different service.
Such an interesting time to be at the point in which, like, quite significant change is happening. And like you said, there's not a great deal of conversation beyond a kind of surface level on the implications of this, because that's just been part and parcel, particularly for specialists, is about the...
So, and in all honesty, when we started the service, it wasn't actually about the specialists. Because we knew those 73,000 doctors are well catered for by their colleges. Yeah. And you know what? Maybe 5% of them don't like their college for whatever reason and might want to come. But the vast majority love their college and will stay there. Our concern was when APRA announced these changes, there was nothing for the other doctors. So there's about 30,000 doctors, typically PGY 3 to 10 plus, who've never had a CPD home. They've never done structured CPD. They've never been part of a college. They're not affiliated to college. They're not planning to join that college because they're not interested in that specialty. There was no service for them. Think about IMGs, non-VR doctors, locums. So there's this people who are academics, working in a university, people like the people here who are entrepreneurs and hardly doing any clinical work. They still need to do a CPD home to maintain their registration. So we worked out that out of that pool of 140,000 doctors, you take out the specialists, you take out the PGY 1 and 2 because they're exempt, because they've just graduated. But there was this large pool of doctors who had no natural bone. They had nowhere to go to. And that's where we wanted to come in and say, on day one, when this goes live, we want to be able to service and support. And our focus is a simple, seamless catalog. I think of ourselves as your taxi car. At the end of the day, it's between you and the taxman, or in this case, it's between the doctor and the medical board. We're just filing your taxes for you. That's all it is.
What is it? There's three certainties in life now. There's what? Death, taxes, and CPD, right?
Pretty much. It's funny you say that, because in this country, for the longest time, you only needed two things to be a doctor. Medical registration and your medical indemnity. And now you need CPD. Otherwise, you can't have medical registration. So I just say to doctors, if you do nothing else, the standards are complex. Don't try to interpret them. If you do nothing else, pick a CPD home and sign up. It's the CPD home's job to guide you into it, to make sure you're compliant, to make sure we send you reminders, to make sure you understand through a simple dashboard, okay, you've done domain one, you've domain two, and you're missing a little bit here. Give you examples of what you can do. Give you easy-to-fill templates. Make your life easier. Make sure you comply. And don't come to the 30th of September, renewing medical registers are going, oops.
Yeah, you don't want to be in that situation. Well, conveniently, your CPD home is called CPD Home, right? Is that
well, all I can say is I saw the market opportunity early.
Oh, I was
we trademarked it. We bought the domain and we did it all. And we even have a 1-800 CPD.
Yes, that's the way. And you got Chat CPD as well. So that's
yeah, no.
But I think what's important then, so from a clinician's point of view, from a doctor's point of view, listening to this then or watching this, they need to get into action. Sounds pretty straightforward then about, like, for if they're using CPD Home to do that. So it's a phone app, is that right?
And it's a desktop app. Yeah. Interestingly, we're still getting 60% people using our desktop. I don't understand why, but
I guess when they're there,
I can see why certain clinicians who are sitting at a desk are more likely to use it, but younger doctors who are doing rounds, definitely on the app.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a native app on all of that. But what we're finding the most interesting part in all of this is that these doctors are finally realizing this is not that hard. Mm. It is simple to do. There's still a huge knowledge gap in the market, and I think the biggest challenge is educating the market that this standard has already come in.
Yes.
It's not a future, it's a norm.
Yeah.
And getting that word out there is a bit slow, so.
And it's not something you can leave until the end of the year, really, because you've got a perspective that shows.
My interpretation is, based on how the medical board has written the standard, you would not be compliant because you have to write a plan, you have to do your CPD, you have to do reflect, you have to do all these other elements. It is practically impossible to squeeze that into 2 months. And it would be going against the spirit of the standard if you say, I wrote my plan today and I reflected on it tomorrow and I finished my year. That was not the spirit of the standard. Yeah. So there's no real definition of could you start in June and still be okay or could you start in March? But I do believe starting in November and finishing in December is probably not.
Yeah, of course. Well, any final thoughts then, like thinking about, you know, you're engaging with a lot of clinicians over time, doctors, and also you're at this really interesting time with brand new, like big changes in place, some opportunities for some technology to be able to keep people...
Oh, the tech is important here, right?
Yeah.
Because whichever CPD home you're with, and I'd be honest, there are a couple of private equity backed players who are entering the market. This is your very personal information.
Yeah.
AMA is a not-for-profit. So yes, we've got a CPD home, which is a subsidiary of the AMA, and we've got the Nitris Association as a co-investor. We're going to be a not-for-profit provider.
Yeah.
We don't sell data. We don't compromise. Our platform has bank-level security. Every login triggers an OTP to your phone. You can't enter without a mobile OTP. So we have built security. We're also quite concerned that, you know, there's a bunch of doctors who just sailed through and they're happy. But if you've got restrictions on your scope of practice, if APRA has reprimanded you on anything, if you're on a remediation, guess who's working with you in the CPD home? If you get audited by APRA and you need to prove why you're good, who do you want backing you? Do you want AMA talking to APRA? Or do you want a random? So we've taken great pains to say this is data sacrosanct. It is not for profit. It's not here to make money. It is genuinely to deliver service. Yes, we need to make sure we are sustainable, but our pricing reflects that. You know, for junior doctors, it's as low, starting at $200.
Right.
As low as it gets. In comparison, some of the colleges start at $6,000.
Yeah.
So we are not and I keep going, we're not a college. We do nothing what they do.
Mm.
We're compliance, simple, easy, flexible for the doctors. Get it done. Don't wait till too long.
Yeah, it's a good important message to leave. I appreciate you taking me through that. I've learned a lot, even just in this short time that we've spent today. And we'll put the details for CPD Home on the show notes of this episode and on our website as well. So thank you so much for taking
Thank
the time.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Hey, thanks for sticking around to the end of this episode. If you made it this far, you're the perfect person that I want to hear from. Our THT Plus audience survey is now open until the end of June, and I personally read every submission. In fact, if you leave a comment in the survey that you heard this promotion in a podcast episode, I promise I'll reply directly to you by email with a personal note of thanks, and I'll even buy you a coffee next time I see you in person. It's pretty easy. Just go to talkinghealthtech.com/survey and have your say.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Talking Health Tech. Make sure you like and subscribe and share this episode with someone who might find it valuable. For more information and resources about healthcare innovation, visit talkinghealthtech.com.